Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catalin Campano. Today is September 21, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Proofpoint. In today's main story, representatives from CISA, the FBI, the DOJ, cybersecurity companies, and the private sector held their first meeting last week as part of the Joint Ransomware Task Force, an interagency project launched earlier this year by the US Congress through CIRSIA funding to fight against the rising threat posed by ransomware attacks. This first meeting, headed by CISA and FBI officials, focused on establishing a set of primary goals on which JRTF members will focus their upcoming efforts. According to a CISA press release on the meeting's minutes, the task force plans to take both an offensive and defensive approach to dealing with ransomware gangs. On the offensive side, the JRTF plans to put together a list of highest threat ransomware entities and then prioritize operations to disrupt specific ransomware actors. On the defensive side, the JRTF said it plans to collect and analyze ransomware trends and then work with federal and private sector entities to increase adoption of defensive measures to reduce the prevalence of successful ransomware attacks. Eric Goldstein, Executive Assistant Director for Cybersecurity at CISA and co-chair of the JRTF, said these were necessary steps to synchronize their efforts for a future where ransomware no longer afflicts American organizations. The announcement is bound to please many members of the cybersecurity community, many of which have been sitting for years on detailed dossiers on the structure of ransomware gangs and most of their members, and have long called for a more proactive approach in going after these gangs, be it through legal prosecution or by forcing server infrastructure offline. Now moving on to other government-related news, the US Federal Communications Commission has expanded the list of equipment vendors and service providers that it views as a national security threat. The two new additions are two Chinese telecom companies, namely China Unicom and Pacific Networks Corp., along with its wholly owned subsidiary Comnet. These two now join the likes of Kaspersky, China Telecom, China Mobile, Huawei, ZTE, Hytera, Hikvision, and Dahua, included on the US naughty list in previous years. Their inclusion in this list means that US companies and local governments will not be able to use US government funds to purchase any of their equipment or services. Also in government-related news, Indonesia's parliament has passed this week a new data protection bill that comes with fines and prison sentences for companies that fail to protect or which abuse user data. According to Reuters, the fines can go up to 2% of a company's annual revenue, and in the case of prison sentences, they can go up to 5 years in jail for individuals who gather personal data illegally, and up to 6 years in prison for those who falsify personal data for personal gains. The passing of this new law comes as the country has been faced with several major data leaks over the past years, incidents that have been linked to poor security measures and broad data collection practices at many Indonesian companies. Moving on to data breach news, Uber shared more details about its hack from last week, confirming most of the second-hand analysis that has been circulating on Twitter over the weekend. The ride-hailing company said it was breached after the threat actor obtained the credentials to Uber systems used by one of the company's external contractors. While the contractor's account was protected by multi-factor authentication, Uber confirmed that the attacker spammed the victim's device with MFA push notifications until the employee approved one. After this, Uber said the attacker gained control over its G Suite and Slack channels, along with some of its cloud infrastructure, at one point reconfiguring Uber's OpenDNS server to display a graphic image on some of its internal websites. Uber said that based on current evidence, it believes the attacker is an individual affiliated with Lapsus, a hacking group that previously also breached Microsoft, Samsung, Cisco, Okta, T-Mobile, and more recently, Rockstar Games. But while the Uber hack took place last week, this week's top hacking story is related to cryptocurrency DeFi platform Wintermute, which said on Tuesday that it was hacked and lost $160 million worth of cryptocurrency. While not official, currently most of the cryptocurrency security experts appear to believe the attacker exploited a recently disclosed vulnerability in a tool that generates Ethereum vanity addresses to steal funds from Wintermute's main Ether wallet. Wintermute CEO said the company remains solvent and said they are still open to the idea of offering a bug bounty reward to the attacker if they return the stolen funds. But besides Uber and Wintermute, American Airlines also recently disclosed a security incident in a data breach notification filed with the Montana Office of Attorney General last week. The airline said the breach occurred in July this year after a threat actor gained access to the email accounts of several employees. These accounts contain documents with the personal data of some of the airline's past customers, such as names, email addresses, home addresses, phone numbers, and travel documents, but the airline did not say how many travelers were impacted. Similarly, in hacking news, it appears that an IT issue that has been impacting the network of Bosnia's parliament over the past 2 weeks may be a ransomware attack, with the incident bearing all the hallmark signs of similar incidents, even if government officials have yet to confirm it as such. Meanwhile, neighboring country Albania, which has had its government network sabotaged by Iranian hackers on 2 separate occasions over the past 2 months, issued a formal gag order to local news outlets to prevent them from reporting any stories sourced from documents that were stolen and recently leaked following the 2 attacks. Now moving on to tech-related news, we have some major news from Microsoft this week, which said it will enable its tamper protection security feature for all Microsoft Defender Enterprise customers by default. The feature works by preventing local apps from disabling or tampering with any of the Defender antivirus settings or processes. Tamper protection has been available since October 2019, and Microsoft has been enabling this feature by default for all its new enterprise customers since last year. In a blog post on Tuesday, Microsoft said it is now enabling this feature by default for all past and existing enterprise customers as well, starting with October 24, 2022. Besides Microsoft, Google also announced a new security feature this week as well. After announcing its intention to develop its own root store for the Chrome browser back in late 2020, Google said this feature is now ready and it would start a slow rollout for all macOS and Windows users running Chrome 105, its current stable version. Once this feature rolls out, Chrome will stop relying on the operating system root store and switch to its internal system to verify if an SSL certificate is valid or not when establishing a new HTTPS connection. Also this week, VPN company Malvad, which is the backbone of Firefox's built-in VPN service, announced the creation of a sister company named Tilitis AB that will create and sell a new line of hardware security keys based on open-source firmware the company is currently developing. In cybercrime-related news, thanks to a report in Bulgarian media, we learned this week that Bulgarian police have detained the administrator of Airsox, a proxy-for-hire service that rented infrastructure to various malware operations. Authorities said they arrested a Russian man named Denis Kloster on May 30 when he arrived for a vacation in Bansko, a high-end ski resort in the country's southeast mountains. The arrest took place at the request of US authorities, which 2 weeks later also seized Airsox infrastructure. The reports in Bulgarian media come after a judge approved Kloster extradition to the US last week, where he is set to face cybercrime-related charges. In threat intelligence news, IoT search engine Sensis published a report this week in which it pointed out that out of the 350,000 Redis databases that it is currently detecting, around 39,000 appear to feature no authentication, and around half of those show signs they have been compromised in various forms. In similar threat intelligence news, phishing detection company Coffence also published a report this week detailing a persistent phishing campaign that has been taking place since mid-2019 and which has repeatedly targeted the Microsoft accounts of several US government contractors. In terms of new developments on the malware landscape, cloud security firm Aquasec said it detected at least 3 new malware strains that appear to have been developed by the Team TNT crypto mining gang. These discoveries are of note because Team TNT announced it shut down all operations in a tweet last November, and all attacks since then have been linked with zombie server infrastructure that the group has operated in previous years. In industry news, Cairo Security open-sourced this week a new tool called VARC, a tool that can collect a snapshot of volatile data from a system immediately after the detection of malicious behavior. Data that would normally contain extremely useful information for defenders, but which is also easily lost during an attack. This includes stuff like active network connections, the memory of running processes, the content of open files, and more. Cairo Security said they tested VARC on Windows, Linux, macOS, AWS EC2, AWS Lambda, and Kubernetes containerized environments. This is it for today's news. Today's show was sponsored by Proofpoint. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.